Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
And now,
Consumer Talk featuring Wendy Nola.
Wendy's with us in studio, and as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about bot rage in just a moment, but let me just put you on the spot first. Wendy, we've done many shows about the post office, and we know that incoming mail coming in from overseas is...
For years now. Delayed.
We've had people telling us they're already now getting their 2020 Christmas cards. What about outgoing mail? Have you had complaints about that?
I haven't really. What I have done is regularly gone to the spokesman at the post office to say, is everything okay? Because people, tend to class their service, put it all in one box and say, don't go there. And they've consistently said, there isn't a problem with outgoing mail. The last time I tried it was in 2019. When was the World Cup? Yes, 2019. Yes. My sister's birthday is at the beginning of October. She lives in Colorado. I sent it possibly 2 weeks in advance. We used to allow it was 10 days on the dot. And for years I sent her gifts and for her children, and there was never an incident. And then I sort of gave up because the 1 year it was, I don't know, it was very, very, very late. Anyway, it was her 50th and I thought, I'm going to just try. And she got it the day before the World Cup, which is what, so... Was it the 9th of November?
Okay.
So it was basically about 5 or 6 weeks it took, which is a long time, but it did get there. And that included us a buff, like a winter buff with a South African flag on it. And I said, well, that was good timing.
Just in time for the World Cup. Yeah. Okay.
So that was the last time I tried it. And then I just, now we do other things, you know.
Okay. I mean, if anybody listening, I know we have some listeners who've said to us before that you are obliged to use the post office for business purposes to send out deliveries, for example. What has your experience been of late with outgoing international mail? From what Wendy said, it sounds like delayed, but getting there.
Yeah.
So if you're sending a document that can wait, maybe it's worth the risk. If you need it to get there within a certain time frame, I think you've got to bite the bullet and go with the courier, Wendy.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I'm certainly not getting complaints from people. Maybe I'm missing a few, but there's certainly no deluge around outgoing.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people aren't just bothering with it. Because they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Bot rage, Wendy. Right. I think that is the phrase we can coin for today's topic. And I'll be the first to admit I have suffered from it myself.
So have I recently, trying to report a theft. And I had to phone 3 organizations quite late at night, admittedly, after 10. And that... cheery voice that says, you don't have to hold on, you can just engage with our bot. Today's example wasn't so much around bots, though. It was, we can use it as a phrase to coin all, I suppose, non-human contact. What happened was listener Shirley of Gordon's Bay had been going through hell with her internet service provider, MWeb. She is a long-standing client. She'd applied for fiber, but not had any feedback. She relies, like most of us, she works from home, and she relies heavily on a stable connection. But her biggest complaint is what she claimed to be an unauthorized debit of R1,000. She got the notification on the 20th of April, and she was outraged. She wasn't having a good month, and the R1,000, she said, that was my food money.
Yeah.
And she just had this extraordinarily challenging time, to put it mildly, trying to engage with an MWeb human. She wanted to know what it was for. It wasn't the usual amount. Why it didn't appear on any invoice that she'd received. And more importantly, she wanted it back. She says on one occasion, she spent R50 of airtime that she'd just... what's the word you do with it? Downloaded? Whatever. Yep. With no result. And after that, R1,000 debit, she says she spent about R200 more in airtime trying to find out what that was all about, how they justified it, what was going to happen. So in one of her many texts to the company, she wrote, I spoke to a man in your accounts department last week or the one before. He promised me that he'd updated everything and that the only money owing by me is for this month's subscription. And he made my payment date the 15th. I need to know why I have a message on the account saying I'm in arrears. I don't know. I made I don't know how many calls to MWeb, and finally he sorted it all out. So why is it still showing? And in the midst of all her venting about this issue, because she really, really was pushed to her limits, she sent me a voice clip. It was quite long, and she apologised for the bad language. But so we've cleaned it up and shortened it a bit.
And we're sharing it with her permission. I think
yes,
it's important to say that. She did want us to share it with you, because it really, I think it's a very, very apt demonstration of where it pushes the customer to, Wendy.
And actually, I should say, in another one, which I haven't shared with you, yeah. I'm not going to share, she actually was in tears. Oh. And that's very hard to listen to. Yeah. So she, you know, when you get really angry, there's the anger, and then there's often tears out of complete frustration. So for me, it's more, the issue is the sad issue. It's the way people feel when they have an experience where they can't engage with a company, just to get some answers, to talk about the problem, to be made to feel that they're being heard.
Yeah, let's take a listen to that voice note.
I spent 50 Rand holding for sales and billing. Neither one. I could get through to nobody. There's an answering machine. You know, this guy talking to you. Push one for this, push two for that. And then we're sending you a PIN for this. Put in your number. Put in your ID. Push one for this. Sorry, we didn't get that. Push one. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. You can't even speak to a human being. I'm so angry, as you can hear. $50. Still haven't spoken to a single human being. Get around with this stupid voice recording telling me constantly, and do you know that you need your when we deliver this and this, I'm not phoning to hear about all this. I just want to speak to somebody who can get this problem sorted out. So I've been waiting for fiber for what, over a month now? So well, you have 1 minute remaining. I nearly threw my phone out this window. But it's not my phone's fault, and I need my phone. So I go onto my account. Do you know you can log into my account? And blah, 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 blah. I know that. So I log in there. Sorry, we can't take any more queries. You have 2 queries open. Blah, 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 blah. That. So I send them so many messages on. Oh, no. Well, you know what, Wendy?
Laughing.
Oh, we're laughing, but we're laughing in solidarity, Wendy, because we've been there.
There's a bigger issue, but I feel so strongly about this, and that is the cost. Most of us, myself included, I'm on prepaid airtime.
Yep.
And the cost of trying to engage with a company, in my case, it's trying to find out who the media liaison person is.
Yep.
Do you know how much I spent in prepaid airtime trying to accomplish that? Because you can't find it online. You have to make the call. And anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so you took it. You did eventually find someone to take it to, which I have to say congratulations, because as a former MWeb customer, I know it's an unfathomable website to try and navigate. But you did find their operations GM.
I have to confess that I found MWeb's operations GM, Etienne Kluter, quite a number of MWeb complaints ago. And not to say that I get an unusual amount of complaints from them. It's just they're a telecoms customer with lots of clients, and so I deal with all of them.
Yeah.
But yes, when I found the original email I sent him, it began with, "It took me a lot of time to find you." So anyway, he's very responsive to me having found him. And I said, I'm not sure of the exact specifics. There's a lot of complication in this query, but, you know, please, could you get this sorted out, the two issues, what's happening to her fibre application and what's with
the
billing?
That 1,000 Rand debit, yeah.
Before I even got his response, Shirley got back to me to say, I'm being treated like a queen now, Wendy. Even their sales department is running around to get my fibre sorted. Why does it need to take this to get things done? And I think that's the story of my working life, really. People say that to me. And I'm not the paying customer. I'm just the person that has access to
the
decision maker.
Yeah.
I'm the conduit. Anyway, so.
So what did MWeb say when you engaged with them?
Yeah. So the response went like this. Previously, Shirley paid her monthly subscription by debit order. In June 2021, the monthly debit order payment was returned unpaid by her bank, and we changed her method of payment to cash, effectively stopping the monthly debit order payments. And since then, she's been paying us via EFT monthly. This information is available to her on her online statement and is available on our portal. I'm happy to share it with you, Baba. On the 19th of April, Shirley contacted MWeb and completed an application for fiber. On the call recording, the sales agent gave her the option of paying by debit order or to continue with monthly EFT payments. She indicated that she would prefer debit order, and the debit order was reinstated accordingly. At that stage, her account was paid up to the 30th of April. Since her method of payment was changed to debit order, we collected her May subscription on the 1st of May via the bank details she supplied us with. He hasn't said anything about that 20th of April.
That doesn't address the issue.
She remembers, picture this, she woke up in the middle of early hours with load shedding coming, ending or starting, or, you know, your alarms beep or whatever happens. And she happened to look at her phone
and saw that money was gone.
And couldn't get back to sleep. Oh, anyway.
So they're basically saying, long and short, that it's a change of billing procedure that has been initiated by her.
Yes, there's still some answers, things unanswered. But since this, I have to say, without going into the detail, which is unnecessary, but they've got it all sorted out. It took some to-ing and fro-ing. So that's accomplished. And then I was told we are... the debit order collection was 100% correct, says MWIT. I need to record that and aligned with our standard billing and collections processes. However, I do think the communication of the payment process could have been dealt with more clearly by the support agent that dealt with the application, he says. So that's a bit of an acknowledgement that she was put through all kinds of hell. We've since made contact with Shirley to explain the debit order payment, give her an update of her fibre order. He got back to me to say that the fibre has been installed and Shirley was already using it. And then when I said, thank you very much for sorting it out, he said, yes, pity we didn't get it right originally. We need to be better. And it's hopefully,
and
this case did prompt.
Yeah, as I said, they've also passed a credit off for some of the airtime that was wasted, which is decent of them, but shouldn't have been necessary.
And I'm hoping that this case, which got a lot of people hopping, has prompted some system changes and perhaps an attitude change as well. Because, as I say, even with if the customer's right or wrong or somewhere in between, you need to be able to communicate effectively with the company. They need to listen to hear you and not put you through what she got put through, the point of literally tears. At the time and energy and money wasted.
Yeah, you know, Wendy, the whole idea of automating as much as possible and the bot being able to give you an immediate, quick answer, even if it's the middle of the night, is all well and good. But very few queries actually require that kind of cut and paste response.
And are able to be... I can certainly vouch for that in my personal experience. And also, I think, you know, you as a telecoms provider or any other kind of bank, whatever, you have very diverse customers. And you need to create platforms.
Channels for all of them.
For all of them. Yeah. You can't say, well, we're living in a technological age now and you do it all online. No.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable.
Well, Shirley is not the only one who's upset. Let me tell you, my screen is filling up. And here's a couple of examples. I can really feel her pain. I tried cancelling my MWeb. It took a lot of time listening to the bot before finally speaking to a human. The bot is so annoying and it costs more money to call in than anything else. Another WhatsApp saying, MWeb are the worst. If I'd known about their useless bot, I would never have signed up with them. I reckon their lack of service is the cause of a heart attack. I have bot rage with Travel Start, says another WhatsApp. It's impossible to get anything sorted there because there is never a person to talk to. Even their emails give an automatic answer. And here is a response of the other kind. This is acknowledging someone who's getting it right, saying kudos must be given to the South African Revenue Service for having a callback feature which works very well to avoid having to camp on the phone. So that's good.
That's great. Okay. The government's very efficient when it comes to taking our money.
Funny that. But it's not the same to be said of spending it.
Yes. I have to just say to the person that wrote in about Travel Start, we did a show a while back, recently. And I have the, he calls himself the country manager, on email. He's incredibly responsive to my queries always. So please send that through to me and I will do the conduit thing. And try and get the help
sorted out.
Need.
Okay, so if it's a current query you're trying to deal with, please feel free to send that through to Wendy.
Thanks for qualifying that.
Okay, got to take a very, very quick break. We'll be back with news and more consumer affairs. If you want to carry on talking about your experiences stuck in the bot loop, you're welcome to pop through a voice note.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
WhatsApp on 072-567-1567.
Wendy, just one more thing about this, the ongoing loop and getting stuck in these chains of customer feedback and non-feedback. And that is around keeping notes and keeping track of them.
Yes.
We feel it because when somebody brings a case to us to help them, for example, I've got a question about somebody trying to access the vaccine system with difficulties. And if you say to them, will you send us a list of who else you've tried and what are the channels you've tried? If they're able to say, well, on the 7th of May, I spoke to this person and they told me X, and on the 8th of May, I was told Y, it's so much more impactful sending that up the chain to say, this is unacceptable, deal with it.
Absolutely. And in fact, the people that are able to do that very seldom need outside help because it packs a punch.
Yeah.
So I love, but I do get a few of them. They're in the minority and they are absolutely, they're such a joy to me, that meticulous personality that puts it all there, because that is dynamite. That is your ammunition. You can say, and when I send the media query off, I say, she spoke in the space of 6 weeks and trying to get this sorted, whether it's a refund or a fraud query. I've got one of those coming up, actually. One of many. They can say, we spoke to 12 people and here are their names.
Yeah, and here's the date of the
it's
call.
It's so rare. Yeah. I mean, I get that maybe once in 6 months, but if we could all just, as soon as something starts going a bit pear-shaped, get
start
your pen out
notes.
Or whatever notes on your phone, whatever works for you, and start documenting. Go forensic.
It reminded me of my really maternity payment
claim. I had one of those too.
47 emails and calls, Wendy. 47 is what it took to finally get paid out the maternity claim that was due to me, and we're going back 18 years now. But because I had an Excel spreadsheet on call number two, I realised things were going wonky.
It. As soon as you realised.
I had a spreadsheet of names and
dates.
Numbers and dates and times. And as you said, it took a long time to finally get there, but it packs.
Would have taken a lot longer if
I hadn't had that, yeah.
If you hadn't had it,
so
yeah.
Do get into the habit if you are dealing with something like this and you can see that it's becoming an issue that's not going to be resolved. Simply start keeping a trail and notes.
What we used
really
to call
helpful.
A paper trail.
Yeah, yeah. This is an interesting one. Someone's saying, talking of bot rage, our receptionist keeps on receiving a call from the same number up to 3 times a day. It starts with, this is an important consumer announcement.
Yes, I've heard.
And then cuts off every time. Does Wendy have any advice on how to make it stop?
I've seen that number. It's an 087 number. So
yes,
it is. I got
it
yesterday on Twitter, actually. Someone, as people increasingly do on Twitter, asking me their questions on that platform. And so I actually put that number into Google and it said it came up spam. It's a number that these usually internationally based companies use. And I don't know, something's obviously gone wrong because who wins with that? I mean, we get annoyed. They get, what do they get?
They don't make their pitch.
There's no money. They do it over the internet. So it's an internet call. But no, I think it's very safe to assume that it's some kind of spam. And if you just save the number when you see it come up, save it as spam and just kill it when you see it.
And the minute you see it, it's frustrating not being able to stop it ever appearing on your phone. But okay.
Yeah, this person said he's registered with the direct marketing associations. Do not contact. He's done a few things. Mm. And I'm still getting these things that are so annoying. And I said,
what can you
that
do? True Caller, of course, is a good way of being able to identify them as spam calls. Mm. If you have got that app, it is very helpful. And before we move on to the online shopping topic, Wendy, I'm sure you'd like to respond to this SMS. It's a subject we've spoken about before, but I think it's important to address. I know this is off topic, they say, but I really think this is worth addressing. First, the Poloni was recalled. Then it was the Kit Kat chocolate. After that, Tiger Brands, the baked beans and peas. Now it's the Knorr light cup of soup, beef and vegetables. What is next? Are the manufacturers taking shortcuts at our expense?
We have spoken about this, and I don't want to sound like an apologist for the manufacturers. Just to put some context to it, though, recalls are extremely common all over the world. If you, there's certain consumer sites that I follow, Consumer Reports in the US, there's Choice in Australia. You can go and look. I mean, in the States, they have got 350 million consumers population, but still, there are. I mean, it runs to several pages every day, just about, because there's a legal requirement, including here. To make it known, which I think is good. So before there wasn't. And so these things were happening quietly behind the scenes and we didn't hear about it.
Uh-huh.
And now they have to report it to the National Consumer Commission, and then the NCC puts out a statement either in tandem or on their own, as they did at the weekend in the case of the Knorr cup of soup. That was quite an important one, actually, because those who are intolerant to wheat and gluten who like a cup of soup product it's winter now, would buy the light version because of the fact that it doesn't have the thickener, the wheat and the gluten, could have bought it not realising that there was...
That there'd been a mistake in putting the wrong product into the packaging.
The regular version went in. And so that was quite a serious one. But I don't think the takeout should be, oh my goodness, you know, this is suddenly all these recalls, what's happening, the consumer, the manufacturers are playing fast and loose with the exception of the listeriosis scandal.
Yeah. That was a different story.
Was in a completely different league, and no outcome there, no court case. It's all just simmering in the background. But yeah, the context is it's a worldwide thing, and we just know about it now
because the reporting is better. The system is working.
Should be thankful that we're seeing all these recalls, as odd as that sounds.
Okay, thanks for that, Wendy.
Same with cars. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you drive a Triber, we missed it. We didn't have time a few weeks ago. They identified worldwide that it's a Renault Triber.
Yep.
The bonnet catch is faulty, and that sounds like a minor thing. But if your bonnet
flies up, funnily
enough, happened to Shirley, our Amway complainant. Gosh, okay. Yes, and she had a most terrible experience on the freeway.
Funny.
And they've done this recall. They identified something like 600 and something in this country, and they had several incidents. I think four. And something like, I forget, if it's 100 or 1,000 of those drivers who have not responded.
If
you drive one, or you know someone that drives one, just spread the word on that one. But again, the context is that car recalls are a dime a dozen all over the world. We just have to know about them now.
Okay, thanks. So if you are driving a Renault Triber, maybe just look up if you're one of the affected batch so that you can respond.
Are.
Okay, okay, that's important. Now, Wendy, a follow-up on online shopping and grocery apps, etc. We had a bit of a rant a week or two ago. There's several questions coming in and complaints about the various apps. And I just wanted to add, I had a very interesting chat with Woolworths, head of their digital sales platforms this week, on the back of
what you'd said.
Of what I'd said, what I'd said on Twitter, what I'd said on air about the subsequent comments that came in from listeners, etc. And really, I thought a very constructive conversation. They were open to the criticism. They were acknowledging of some of the issues that were raised.
Yeah.
They were big enough to admit that there were valid concerns and complaints. And they gave me some very interesting feedback on what they're doing to tackle those. I just wanted to say that that conversation has happened, and we have committed to doing a follow-up on air a little bit later in the year. There are a few things that are sort of in progress, and once they're ready to talk about the changes that have been made to address some of those recurring issues, I've said to them the platform is theirs to join us and have that conversation on air. So
that
I thought that was a very constructive response and a very honest response, I thought, in acknowledging that some of the issues raised are indeed being flagged by other customers. But interestingly today, it's not their app that's in the firing line from a listener. It was Pick and Pay's ASAP app in this case.
Yes, it was. I just wanted to go back to the Triber because I looked it up. It was bugging me. There was 6,249 affected Tribers, so quite a few. 70% of the owners have taken them in, which leaves, as a couple of weeks ago, 1,437 Tribers on the road that have got potentially that faulty bonnet catch. So please spread the word. And seven of those cars in South Africa have had that bonnet thing catch, fortunately without serious injuries.
Thank goodness for that.
Okay, so I didn't mean to go there, but since we're talking recalls, it sort of popped out.
Okay.
Right.
So John wrote to us.
Wrote to us about an experience which his 92-year-old mother had with the Pick and Pay ASAP app. She recently placed an order totaling R725. Payment was taken off the credit card account supplied. But thanks to several items in the order being out of stock, and that's an issue on its own, items with a total value of R420, that's quite a significant
big difference,
difference, were delivered to her in the end, meaning she is due an amount of R304 as a refund. Here's the problem. As John pointed out, the app states that the refund could take 6 to 10 working days, so that's about 2 weeks by my calculation, to reflect in the account. 2 weeks that a customer must be without their food money in this case. And how is this justified? As I said to Pick and Pay, clearly the technology exists to delay taking payment until it's been established what was sent to the customer as opposed to what was ordered, or maybe
Doesn't. Well, they're not alone in doing it that way. I think all of them have the same. You pay, the amount is put on hold or on reserve, as it were.
And then you don't spend the whole amount. I think the issue
though,
is the timing.
Okay. So I mean, I know you took this up with them, Wendy, and they did give you an explanation of how it works, that
yes.
The standard practice is to process and charge the payment upfront and then correct if there are items that were not delivered because they were out of stock.
Yes, and the reason they do that is if it doesn't happen like that, then the retailer runs the risk of picking an entire order for payment to fail due to the wrong card details or insufficient funds.
Okay.
Anyway. With that said, pick and places, we realise it can be frustrating and sometimes a huge inconvenience to wait a few working days for your refund. So we will soon be launching a wallet function on the app that gives immediate refunds. It will be launched by the end of the month.
Okay.
You see how all the competition and the way we're living our lives now is driving this innovation, which is really good to hear. Apparently, this particular refund was issued on the same day. We've tried to explain that it takes a few days to reflect because the bank's involved. Someone from the team has tried to contact John yesterday, and we've offered a promo code or smart shopper points as a gesture of goodwill.
Okay, so end of the month, that functionality should be in place. That's a very constructive
response.
So. Yeah. Yes. Okay, we'll keep you posted. But now, speaking of the Pick and Pay app, Wendy, I was really interested to see their announcement yesterday of a partnership with Takealot.
As I say, more of these things are going to start happening. What's happened is Pick and Pay will bring, I'm quoting from the release, it's obviously very glowing, Pick and Pay will bring its tremendous expertise in running fresh food and grocery, its nationwide store network and its smart shopper loyalty program, while the Takealot Group will bring its proven ability to satisfy online, its technical expertise and its unrivaled delivery network. So what happens is if you as a customer, you open the Mr. D app, you will be offered the choice either to buy groceries or buy food from restaurants. By clicking on buy groceries, you obviously go through the motions, pick what you want. Pick and Pay will pick and pack the order from the closest Pick and Pay store, and it will then be collected by a member of the Takealot delivery fleet and delivered to the customer.
So it's going on to Mr. D. Is that going to replace ASAP or run in tandem with ASAP?
That's a very good. I think it will run in tandem.
I
think it will replace.
Interesting. Okay. And obviously, the Takealot delivery network is an extensive one. Very so that's proven. A benefit in yes. terms of a big benefit in terms of accessibility of drivers
Absolutely.
And reach. Okay.
And, you know, competition and more demand. I think a year or two from now, the service provision and the consumer friendliness of these apps is going to
immensely improved. Yeah.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
WhatsApp on 072-567-1567.
Hi, Pippa. I've also had bad experiences with the bots online for things that I ordered online. But at the moment, I'm struggling very badly with Standard Bank. My credit card was defrauded of 20,000 Rand. Now, as a pensioner, there's no way I can afford that. I phone early in the morning, I phone mid-morning, I phone lunchtime, I phone mid-afternoon, I phone late afternoon. I just cannot get through to their fraud department. While you're holding on, this little recorded voice says, you can also find the status of your fraud case by emailing, and they give you the email address. Well, I have emailed that address 10 times at least. And I have not even had an acknowledgement of the email, let alone a response. I am going crazy. How can I get Standard Bank to respond to me about the money about which I was defrauded? Thank you very much, Caroline in Pinelands.
Caroline in Pinelands, the only practical answer I can give you to that question is to please just email me. I know that bank and others, they haven't capacitated those platforms properly.
Yeah.
The call centres, the fraud reporting, we've spoken about it on the show
a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago. Funnily enough, before I came, there's an all-day South African Fraud Prevention Service fraud seminar going on today. I was involved last year, if you might
remember
recall,
that, yes.
So I was working with this on Teams in the background all morning, and I was thinking, actually, I'm going to ask if I can speak next year about this issue of fraud reporting by consumers.
Yes. Yeah.
Throw it out there because all the banks and insurers and everyone
are there at that event. Yeah.
Virtually, but they're there.
Also, I think worth an honorary mention that Standard Bank and Capitec were flagged as having the highest volume of complaints in the Banking Ombuds report. I think it was the day after we were on air last week.
Yes, I spoke about it. I can't remember which platform I spoke about it on, probably with Bruce, but you've got to acknowledge that they've got, Capitec certainly got the most customers,
South African. Yeah.
Yeah, and Standard Bank's right up there too. But that's been the case for some time, and then their numbers are spiking. Internet fraud, those are the two top banks. Yes, I have actually engaged with them, particularly Capitec, about it, and I've just realised I haven't checked for the response.
But, I'm just looking at the figures. Standard Bank and Capitec both seeing an increase of 31% in the number of complaints this year, this past year. So, yeah, definitely one to be followed up. Wendy, while we're speaking about Ombuds reports, I know John has done an interview or two about this on his show, but interested to hear your thoughts on the two insurance Ombud reports that came out this past week.
Yes, so it was the two of them used to report separately, and each was this massive annual report, and now they do it together, and it was 90-something pages.
Oh, okay.
It took me hours to wade through. But I just thought something to mention quickly, and it's highly topical, which came up under the South Africa, the short-term insurance Ombuds report, and that is that they very strongly advise homeowners to check what their policies cover in respect of power surges, given that load shedding is clearly here to stay. I know it's been with us for a while, and you might have been lucky up till now with not having your appliances fried. But in 2020, of their household contents complaints, disputes, 11% were made up of by these power surge claims.
Wow.
Claims. By 2021, that was gone. That's now up to 16%. And the warning is some household contents insurance policies don't include this cover, while others only include power surge damage for an additional premium if it is requested.
Ah.
So I think I certainly, just through my work, made sure that I'm covered. But some people, just because they haven't been affected, might not have given attention to this. And we are in for a winter of load shedding, so just make sure that you're covered, because it's an awfully
big
loss.
It's a very real risk. Okay, thanks for that, Wendy.
Yeah.
I think we can squeeze in one last voice note responding to Caroline's query. We're not going to have time to get that in. It's too long a voice note. Okay, sorry about that. Caroline, the one thing I didn't tell you was how to contact Wendy if you would like her to take up that case for you with Standard Bank. You send an email to consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R. She knows a lot about consumer affairs. consumer@nola.co.za. Please put in the subject line Cape Talk Standard Bank, so she knows to keep a lookout for it. And then obviously give her the full details of the nature of the fraud, the dates, etc. What you've tried doing in terms of reporting it, and what redress you're seeking, and hopefully she'll be able to follow up.
I actually have had a response, but if I can just get it in 1 minute, from Capitec. Since here are your figures, why they're so high. And in Capitec's case, banking clients fall victim to fraud due to being coerced by fraudsters into buying products that are advertised on social media platforms, especially Facebook Marketplace or cell phone deals, and insurance from fraudsters on the street claiming to be from legitimate institutions without verifying validity.
Ooh.
These fraudsters are very much more, in that case, certainly face-to-face defrauding. These fraudster syndicates are well organized and quick to withdraw the funds. By the time clients realize they've been scammed, the fraudsters have already moved or used their hard-earned money. And then they just gave me a list of, because I said, let me help, let's get the word out. And they gave me a series of, quite familiar to many of our listeners, what to do, what to avoid, kind of thing. So I think, the element that with a lot of Capitec customers, more so than perhaps other banks, given the demographics, is on the streets, in cities and towns.
And falling for a smooth pitch. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Wendy. Thanks for squeezing it in. Okay, we do need to wrap up there. As always, thanks for the work you do on behalf of our listeners. Wendy, we'll chat again next week, Wednesday. Wendy.